Hey there, welcome back to Teal Town Conversations, brought to you by TealTownUSA.com. If you like what you see here, subscribe, whether it's on YouTube, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, wherever you're listening to this, thank you very much for doing so. You can check out links in the description as well. We usually have events, merchandise, whatever. Check all that out. We are on every single post game as well on YouTube Live. So you can check that out also. And very recently, 2 days ago, I had David Staples on for a quick conversation. You can find that in our YouTube archive as well as iTunes. So check that one out. And today I have Dave Gordon. You can find him on Twitter at Rusty Knuckler. He's a writer, podcaster for the OilersRig.com. So with that, Dave, how's it going?
Not too bad. Not so good after last night's game, but I'm glad to be here. And the Oilers are in the playoffs, so really it can't be that bad right now.
Yeah, to provide context for those listening well after the fact, this is right after the morning after game four, the Sharks won 7-0. So we totally understand if you're a little down after last night, but it's a 2-2 series. It's a whole new series. What was your takeaway from last night? Or did you just want to burn that one and forget about it?
I think the Oilers, the players need to burn it and forget about it. As fans, we tend to hold on to things a little bit longer. It was not a good game for the Oilers from start to finish. And San Jose dominated, but San Jose's a team with experience, and it wasn't unexpected. You back a dog into the corner, and it's probably going to bite you. And I think that's what happened last night.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a lot of Sharks fans are hoping to see. Like, we just want to see a good solid victory, but that was kind of, from our perspective, is really a statement of, hey, we're not dead yet. And I mean, they jumped up early. I think once they got up early, it was all downhill for them, really. I don't know, what did you feel went wrong for the Oilers there, besides everything?
I was talking on we just recorded the Oilers Rig podcast about half an hour ago, and I talked on it. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins missed an empty net, like a wide open cage, early in the first on the power play, and that would have tied the game at one. And I think the game would have been completely different had that puck gone in the net, but it didn't. And yeah, they, like I said, the Oilers, they just need to forget about it and move on. You said it yourself. It's tied 2-2. We're now at a best of three series, and anything can happen.
Yeah, exactly. So, before we go move on to another topic, the game last night, just saw on Twitter there that I'm just blanking on his name suddenly. We'll have Leon a hearing. Leon Draisaitl, yes. So I just like completely blanked on his name. We'll be having a hearing with the NHL. What were your thoughts on that play, and what do you think is going to happen?
It was a dirty play. If he's having a hearing, I guess there's a chance he's going to get suspended. I don't know that I agree with that. Draisaitl's not a dirty player. I'm sure he would take it back if he could. He's never had an issue with being disciplined by the league before. And we know that in the playoffs, like a one-game suspension is kind of equivalent to two or three during the regular season. And in my mind, I think that a five-minute major and a game misconduct is about the same as a one-game suspension. And, you know, we saw what Crosby did in the regular season. He didn't get anything for it, Brad Marchand. So I don't think anything comes of it. Maybe a fine, and I'd be happy with that. But if he gets suspended, maybe the Oilers would be a little more disciplined going forward.
Yeah, I might send a message to them about that. Sorry, Chris, go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, I think that to date, the Sharks haven't really made them pay, something David Staples said, crime pays in the NHL. And thus far in the series, the Oilers never really paid for any of the shenanigans. And last night, they finally had to pay a little bit for that. And that, you think that'll change? You think that'll change their game plan going forward a bit?
Well, they need some discipline. Taking 5-6 penalties a game isn't going to work. And I know everybody will state like the lack of a successful Sharks power play during the regular season. But you look at the players, the Pavelskis, the Thorntons, the Couturiers, you can only play with fire so long before you get burnt. And that's exactly what happened last night. As being an Oilers fan, I hope that was it. They came out, they had their show, and they'll go back to letting the Oilers win some games.
Maybe. So game by game, we're seeing something very different. San Jose dominated game one after a shaky start. The Oilers dominated game two thanks to their shorthanded prowessness. And then really an even game outside of a goal by Cassian in game three was even for the most part, and it was very tight, one nothing affair. Game four was just a domination. What do you see, or what type of game do you think will be typical the rest of the series?
It's hard to say. You nailed it. That game one, the Oilers had no business, I don't think, even taking that game to overtime. And I was really happy about that because the Sharks dominated that game, and yet the Oilers were only one shot away from winning it. Game two, like you said, the Oilers came out and they outskated the Sharks. They played really, really well, and they came away with a win, but the score was still tight. Game three, like fairly even. Next game, I would expect we see more of the back and forth. I don't think one more of a similar to game three. Hopefully with a little bit more scoring, just because that makes the games more exciting for both fan bases. But the series has been close. Take away last night's performance, and I think anybody can still win it. It is a best of three. I really, I don't know what to say. Like, I don't know who I think is going to win the series. I picked, being an Oilers fan, I picked the Oilers to win in six, but I think the Sharks could win in six. It could be a seven-game series. It's been four completely different games, and we haven't seen a big battle. Maybe now they'll settle it out, and we'll see some real good back and forth action in the next game.
Yeah, I'd like to see something more like game three. Like game three, I thought was the best game in the series for just some, if you're a completely objective bystander, that was really great back and forth. Even though there wasn't much scoring, it was a good game. Like both teams were playing well. It wasn't because, you had two inept offenses. It was two defenses were playing really well, two offenses were playing well, and it was whoever made the first mistake would lose that one.
Absolutely. Even if you take the series back to the regular season, I find I've watched all the Sharks games against the Oilers this year, and they were similar. There was games where the Oilers won, like they had a 3-1-1 record against the Sharks in the regular season, but a couple of those games they had no business winning, I didn't think. And then the game was it just in the beginning of January, where the Sharks absolutely dominated the Oilers from start to finish. So
The
team
Bodker
versus
hat
a team
trick
full of
game.
kids. Yes. I won't forget it, that's for sure.
We call it the clock is right twice a day game in his case. Yeah, that was an interesting one. Kind of talking a little bit about the way it's gone. I think the Oilers defense has been kind of, to me, part of what's gone right and gone wrong for them. It seems like when they've stayed at home and they've played steady, that's been good results for the Oilers, whether it's a close game or a dominant game. Like, I mean, they don't even think they got tested that much in game two because the forwards were mashing the Sharks so hard. But how do you feel about the defense right now as far as the different players on there, how consistent they are, and going forward in the series?
Well, if you take out game four, if you watch that from the memory, that it's been pretty good. The whole keep it simple, stupid has been working for the Oilers. They're making smart, easy plays, chipping the puck out of the zone, off the glass and out, which is not something I personally like to see during the regular season, but in the playoffs, the less the puck is in your own end, the better. And the defense has been doing pretty good at that. They've been as physical as they need to be. I do tend to think that a player like Oscar Klefbom is nagging an injury. He did block that Brent Burns shot early in game, or well, late in game two, and I think that's affecting his ability a little bit right now. But all in all, I think I've been really impressed with the Oilers' defense, not just in the playoffs, but the whole regular season. I think that's one of the reasons for the big turnaround they've had.
Yeah, that and that guy, I forget his name, something. I forget his name.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I think Connor or
Kind of
something.
famous. Yeah, kind of
Yeah,
famous. That
he's a pretty
guy.
good hockey
He's
player, that guy.
a really good hockey player, that's for sure. There have been a good number of calls and rough stuff in this series. We've seen a decent amount of Oilers games this season, and it seems like that's kind of, at least in my opinion, hasn't been quite their style or typical of what they've done in the regular season. Is that part of their game plan against San Jose?
Well, it sure seems to be. It's definitely not their MO
Right.
regularly. I don't know what it is. They've come out, and I think they've been led by probably every Sharks favorite Oiler, Zach Cassian, just on how he sets the example
Oh, yeah.
on playing physical, and you know he's been rewarded with a couple goals. But we've seen everybody. Jordan Eberle, who is famous around these parts for being soft in the corners, has been playing well, and he's been physical, and he's been battling, and he hasn't been afraid to go to the corners. And that's something that we're not used to seeing through the Oilers right now. And it's been both good and bad because it has cost them with the refs. And I think personally they might need to tone it down a little, get back to their original, you know, their game, their speed. And if they do that, then I think they should have an easier time against the Sharks. They're playing more into the Sharks' hands right now by being this physical, I believe.
Yeah, Cassian is turning into quite the villain around San Jose, isn't he?
Well, and you know what? Rightfully so. When Cassian wasn't an Oiler, when he played for the Vancouver Canucks, I don't know if you guys remember, but in a preseason game, he basically took Sam Gagner's head off with a slash, broke his jaw, put him out for weeks, and he was probably the most hated NHL player in Edmonton. Then you know they bring him in a fantastic trade for Ben Scrivens a few years ago, and
Oh,
everybody
wow,
loves
that's
him. He's
right.
that type of player that if he's on your team, you're going to love what he does. If he's not on your team, you're going to hate him as with as much passion as you have.
Yeah, and on the opposite side, it seems that a lot of Oilers fans don't really care much for Timo Meier. At least that seems to be the guy who's getting under the skin the most, from what I can tell. Is that right?
Yeah, Timo Meier and Chris Tierney have been two players where I get kind of yelly at the TV, if yelly is a word. Yeah, no, they've been two players have been thorn in the side, and so Timo Meier, I noticed this last night in the game, and this is not really hot, but he looks like Nail Yakupov. If you guys remember Nail Yakupov, former first overall pick for the Oilers
Yes.
since St. Louis now, but my God, I thought it was the same guy, except you know, Timo Meier plays with a bit of passion in his game.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, I know, low blow, but he's not, Yakupov's not an Oiler anymore, so I'm allowed to do that.
That's true. That's true. There's been some mixed feelings, I think, on both sides, whether you're a Sharks fan or Oilers fan, on the penalties and the officiating. How do you feel about the officiating in this series? Because it's had its ebbs and flows.
It really, I think, has been inconsistent. I try not to complain about the refs during the playoffs because, but we haven't seen the whistles in the pockets like we're used to in the
Right.
playoffs. And there's been, I hate to go after the non-calls, but especially in the first couple games, I thought there was quite a few calls that could have been made against McDavid. Hooking, you know, he's so fast. It's almost impossible for a player not to take a penalty when he's flying down the wing or up the middle or wherever. But that being said, your ebbs and flows is right. I think it's been a little inconsistent, and I'm not sure the players know exactly what to expect from the refs from game to game.
Yeah, definitely. That's kind of been my feeling on it as well. What's your feeling on McClellan's style behind the bench? I mean, our former coach, you know, we know him pretty well. We've seen a lot of the things from him that we expect. What's your feeling been on him?
I think he's been good. I think he's a great coach. I don't want to say he's been outclassed so far in this playoffs, but some line matching. When you're on home ice, when the Oilers are at home, you should never lose a line matchup. And I found he did that a few times, and was out coached by DeBoer, who I also think is a great coach. You know what? They're both good coaches. McClellan, he's what he is, and he said it perfectly last night in his post game that the Oilers are still a team that hasn't experienced anything like this before. So a lot of the onus is on the players to overcome it, and the coaches are just there to help right now.
Yeah,
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead, Eric.
no, I was gonna say they definitely have some newness to them that they're still working out on. So obviously, Edmonton's got their eyes on Burns, Pavelski, Couture, and you kind of already mentioned Timo and Tierney. Have there been any other lesser-known Sharks players that have caught your attention this series?
I wouldn't say lesser known. I'm a big fan of Hurdle. I've been a big fan of Hurdle ever since the famous locker room remarks from Joe Thornton in the Vancouver.
Yes.
That comes up all the time in my house. It makes me laugh. But no, I like the way he plays. He's a big player. But he's been through the series, he's been on for some shifts and been off for some shifts. But if he found his consistency, I think he'd be right up there with among the best players on the Sharks team. And defensively, Martin has been fantastic. And then you got Schlemko, who he had that terrible giveaway to Cassian in game three, but he scored a goal last night. He's been okay. Your defenses, they're mobile and they can move the puck really well. And that's something every team wants for sure.
Yeah, so it's probably worth mentioning here. I guess you probably follow Sharks a little more than the average Oilers fan, because you mentioned before we went on here, your wife is a diehard Sharks fan, so you're probably pretty well aware of almost everything the Sharks do, right?
I do watch a lot of Sharks games throughout the year. Whenever the Sharks are in town, we go to those games. And I've been paying attention to them for the last number of years just because the Oilers haven't been in the playoffs, so they've been kind of the de facto team I cheer for. That's over now. But you know what? I do pay attention to the Sharks. I like them a lot, and they're a hell of a good team. And I think that depending on how this series goes, I think either one of these teams could probably go a long way.
Yep. So, we've come this far. We've kind of mentioned him, but I guess we need to mention Connor McDavid somewhere in here. And I know there's a lot of buzz about, he's not scoring as much as some people thought. Think you're probably familiar enough with the Sharks to know there's this guy named Mark Edward Vlasic who has been all over him all series long and generally does that in the playoffs. Do you think he's going to have a breakthrough game at some point, or how are you tracking that?
No, I do think he's going to have a breakthrough game. I think he's almost been there a few times in the last few games. You know what? Vlasic's a great defender, and like you said, he's generally the shutdown guy for the Sharks. And he's still had trouble with McDavid. McDavid's had plenty of opportunities and just hasn't found the back of the net, but it's coming. And I think Connor's getting used to the tight checking that is the Stanley Cup playoffs. And as soon as he figures that out, he's a 20-year-old kid, but he's shown us that he can adapt very quickly. And he's had really good opportunities, and eventually they're going to find the back of the net. Hopefully, for us Oilers fans, that comes soon.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I expect him to do something at some point, because you can only, I mean, in my opinion, you can only really contain him. You can slow him down, but you're not gonna shut him down. But Vlasic's probably the best guy who can at least mitigate his damage, and that's usually what Vlasic's MO has been in the playoffs, is whoever the best player is, he's out there on the ice constantly against him, sees a lot of him, and his numbers some of them suffer for that, but that's his role in the team and does a good job. I don't know if there's much like Canadian rivalry going on, but are you looking at the other Canadian teams, for instance, Toronto, and kind of measuring what the Oilers are doing against them?
Not really Toronto for me. I'm pretty surprised by that series right now. I thought that Washington was going to walk all over the Leafs, and to see where they are in that series is pretty cool, actually. So Toronto, not so much. Calgary, yes. Every Oilers fan hates the Flames. It's natural. I think we're born with that. And to see them down against Anaheim 3-0 is in my mind, fantastic. As much as I would have really liked the Battle of Alberta in the second round, it's always fun to watch the Flames lose.
Oh, yeah, we feel the same way about the Kings whenever they lose or when they're not in the playoffs. we do.
Yeah, I know that you mentioned my wife being a Sharks fan earlier. Whenever the Kings are on, she just screams every time Doughty has the puck. She hates him so much. and I, it gets to the point where I'm just an Oilers or a hockey fan watching the games, and I think, Doughty's such a good defenseman. And my wife just like, she's ready to throw stuff at the TV. I almost got to put a cage around it when the Kings are on.
Yeah, I know the feeling. There's a lot of bitterness between Sharks and the Kings for very obvious reasons.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
You guys have a brand new rink in Edmonton in the Ice District. Rogers Place. How have things or changed from Rexall, or as I like to call it, Northlands Coliseum still, but how's the vibe changed now that the team is in the Ice District in Rogers Place?
I don't know if the vibe so much has changed. Like, it's a beautiful building. It's the seating is fantastic. There's not a bad sight line in the rink. The fans are the fans. I think the biggest thing that's changed the vibe around the Oilers this year is just the fact that they're in the playoffs. Rexall or Northlands again. I remember the old Northlands, and I think that's what they're calling it again right now.
Oh, okay.
But it was a quiet building the last decade, and rightfully so. The Oilers stunk. So now we're seeing this playoff action back in Edmonton again, and in a new building, and I wouldn't say it's changed the hype, but it's definitely helped. And everybody likes things that are shiny and new.
Very much so, and that place is gorgeous. What unique elements does the new building have?
So for me, they've got this is like a beautiful entrance. You walk into the rink and you just know you're going to watch the Oilers play, just the way they have it set up. There's some things I don't like about it, but we'll stick with the things I do. Like I said, the sight lines from the seats, I've sat in a few different spots for games, and they're all fantastic. The scoreboard is amazing. It's sometimes, and I've been caught, like, so where I split my season seats, we kind of sit in the corner. So there's a spot on the other end of the rink where you can't see the play, so you have to look up at the scoreboard. And I catch myself watching the play come all the way back on the scoreboard. Like, it's just, it's almost mesmerizing. And then I get angry and I'm like, wait a minute, Dave, the play is 6 feet in front of you. Pay attention. But yeah, you could watch the whole game on a scoreboard and you wouldn't even, it'd be hard to tell you weren't watching it right in front of you live action.
Very nice. So speaking of going to the game, so at some point I plan on getting up to Edmonton. If I go to a game there, where should I get a beer before I go to the game?
Well, there's a few spots. There's that whole ice district is really nice. I like to go to the place called The Pint, and it's an Oilers, well, it's an Edmonton bar, but for Oilers games, it's crazy. There's a really nice place right across the street as well called Mercer Tavern. Before the games, though, you got to get there early because these places fill up quick. They also have, they call it the Ford Hall because they sold naming rights to everything. So it's the Ford Hall. They have the Molson Canadian Hockey House. And before games during the regular season, you go in there and get a pint for $5, which Canadian, that's pretty darn good.
Oh, yeah. I know. I saw, I was there in Toronto last week, so I know what the exchange rate is right now. That's pretty good.
Yeah, for you guys, that's even better. But, yeah, it's a nice place to go. Before the games, it's a lot of times if I go and I'm meeting friends, we'll go into this hockey house and have a couple for $5, because once you get in the rink, they're a hell of a lot more expensive.
Oh, yes, yes. Stadium beers are always the most fun. All right, cool. Well, I mean, that's everything we had. Tell the good folks where they can find you on Twitter, where they can find your podcast, and all that good stuff.
Awesome. Again, I write from time to time and host podcasts, co-host podcasts on theoilersrig.com. You can check us out. We have a YouTube channel. We do a vlog called Odd Man Rush. You can get me at Twitter, at Rusty Knuckler. And there's all sorts of ways to find me and yell at me and send whatever opinions you want. Disagreements are probably the funnest thing on social media. So find me at Rusty Knuckler and we'll have a chat. And go Oilers, go.
Yeah, cash me outside. How about that? Okay, how awesome. Awesome. Appreciate you joining us. Just a reminder to everyone who's listening or watching us, please hit that subscribe button. It helps us out very, very much if you like it. Check out links in the description. We are here after every post game, always. And you've been listening to another edition of Teal Town Conversations. Thanks very much for joining us, Dave.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been great, guys.
Thank you, Dave.